Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans.
Good morning. Good morning. Here we are again. Mike Cosentino here and Gary LeMaster.
Good morning.
And we are on Democratic Perspectives.
If I may, I'd like to start out by congratulating Mike. he is a grandfather for a second time just a few minutes ago.
Vincenzo was born at home in the birthing pool. That's correct. And here, you want to see his picture? he's a big boy, 2 weeks late. So yeah, we're pretty excited. This is going to be a nice brother for Olivia Soul. Yes, thank you.
So we'll have to keep bringing his mind back to politics this morning.
Well, yeah, in between, I'm texting his picture all over the country, you know, into relatives in between, so that whatever comment that makes on modern communication devices, and that's how I got the news. He's born at the same time as his. As his father. But anyway, here we are. Vincenzo Cosentino is doing well, and thank you. But one of the things we're going to do this morning, the theme this morning is loosely in their own words. And we've prepared, at least Gary's prepared, a long list of quotes from our friends across the aisle on various topics. I want to define gaffe first. You know, if you Google the word Romney and gaffe, first of all, you get pages and pages and pages of information. And but I want to define a gaffe is defined as unintended honesty. And I have to admit, I do get a little bothered when I hear 2 or 3 or 4 weeks sometimes of news on one unguarded statement. You know, because somebody makes a speech error, I'm not sure that's exactly national news all the time. That's to be gone after.
Yeah? It's part of the what we call gotcha politics.
The gotcha politics, exactly.
If somebody is campaigning and they're spending months and months campaigning, making speeches, they're bound to make a few statements that don't sound quite right. There's a little bit of difference in how it goes, how it happens. So, for example, the latest brouhaha over Obama's statement about you didn't succeed in that business by yourself. You didn't build it by yourself. He didn't say that. It was edited to make it seem something entirely different.
Yeah, the other side's real good at that.
That is, to me, that's unconscionable.
So we're going to read full and quotes this morning, and the idea is that we're going to start with Mitt Romney, and we're going to do Ann Romney, and we're going to do some of our local candidates. Brenda Barton and Chester Crandall are running against a couple of our candidates, our Democratic candidates in LD6. Locally, and anybody else we can find, and what we're saying here is that a gaffe, as defined as unintended honesty, is pretty revealing in these particular cases, because we've got lots of them. I'm gonna start with Mitt Romney, and in some cases we're gonna paraphrase, and we'll have all these documented on our website. As usual, vvid.org, and you can check out our sources and whatnot. I like Mitt Romney, let me back up and say his gaffe on the Olympics, talking about
His going to London and criticizing the preparation of the London Olympics is just not smart. It's something that you would not do if you go to a friend's home and or worse yet, somebody you don't know very well, and you go to their home and you criticize the dinner they prepared for you.
But not that big a deal compared to, seriously, compared to the list we're about to read.
I like though when you look at his comments about the Olympics, and criticizing the preparation, I love the fact that one of the European newspapers, in response to it, labeled Romney's foreign policy expertise as they kind of dismissed it as the American Borat.
The American Borat, yeah, that was great in the German press. Let me just start reading the list, Gary, and you can jump in here because I know you have lots more. Romney talked about in the CNN interview in Florida that I'm not concerned about the very poor, which was not really a good thing for a presidential candidate to say. He says he likes being able to fire people. He says, I like to be able to fire people who provide services to me. This is a New Hampshire audience. Corporations are people, my friend. Of course they are. Everything corporations earn ultimately goes to the people. Where do you think it goes? Whose pockets? Whose pockets? People's pockets. Human beings, my friend. In support of corporations being people. Some people call him Etch-a-Sketch because of his ability to change positions. Well, I think you hit a reset button. This is a quote from Mitt Romney in the fall campaign. Well, I think you hit a reset button for the fall campaign. Everything changes. It's almost like an Etch-a-Sketch. You can kind of shake it up, restart all over again. He likes talking about the job thing. There are times when I wondered whether I was going to get a pink slip. I know what it's like to worry about whether or not you're going to get fired. Romney's worth $200 million. What is that, $200 million and isn't
we,
worried about
we
whether...
We guess.
We guess. That's true. We don't know.
His refusal to release his financial statements.
Like we said Obama, that he was a nice guy. He thinks he's a nice guy, but he spends too much at Harvard. How many degrees from Harvard does Mitt have?
Mitt has two.
That's right.
So he spent more time at Harvard than Obama. I thought one of the more revealing things that Romney said is that when asked about his income, he says, I get speaker's fees from time to time, but not very much. It was later explained that he earned $374,000 in speaking fees in 1 year.
Yeah. Lifetime income around here.
I'd like to, I'll throw in a couple.
Please.
On the auto industry, I think Mitt has, I like to say that he has at least three positions on every subject, because he's changed so often. On the auto industry, he said, I'll take a lot of credit for the fact that this industry's come back. This after having written an op-ed in the New York Times titled Let Detroit Go Bankrupt, in which he said if GM, Ford, and Chrysler got a government bailout, you can kiss the American automotive industry goodbye. But now he takes credit for rescuing it.
You know, my favorite was, on a personal level, and I believe these things are personal, and we'll talk about that in a minute, too. But when he claimed to like L. Ron Hubbard's book, Battlefield Earth, as the one of his favorite books, and certainly his favorite science fiction book. And after a storm of criticism about what a lousy book it was and how it represented a religion, and he did say at the time that he didn't subscribe to the religion, he just liked the story. He liked Battlefield Earth. And most people feel it's a terrible book on all kinds of levels. He said, well, I like Huck Finn too. and the commentator said, yeah, I get those two confused all the time. but one thing, Huck Finn is certainly, I saw a quote on a PBS special that it is all 50 governors at the time, this is 10 years ago, have admitted that they read Huck Finn, when actually I'm going to guess maybe none of them have ever read Huck Finn. or a few of them have. All 300 some odd pages. And I'm moving on here. I got a bunch of Ann Romney.
I'd like to, if I could, throw in a couple. I think one of the things that's most disturbing about Romney's position changes is on a so-called Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, which he is now very much against, and especially
Romneycare,
especially the mandate, the personal or individual mandate. Yet when he was selling the idea to Massachusetts, where it's known as Romneycare, he talked about, and realistically, some of the problems with healthcare cost is that people, this is a quote, people who don't have insurance nonetheless receive healthcare, and it's expensive. We're spending $1 billion giving healthcare to people who don't have insurance. And my question was, could we take that $1 billion and help the poor purchase insurance? Let them pay what they can afford. We'll subsidize what they can't. That was Romney as governor of Massachusetts. He said the individual mandate is essential for bringing the health care costs down for everyone and getting everyone the health insurance they need. Well, as a matter of fact, the Romneycare, which is essentially the same plan as so-called Obamacare, is very popular in Massachusetts and has brought the cost of health care down. But, of course, now that he's running for president, he's very much opposed to it.
Yes, right. And that's amazing. What about the quote from Israel? That was talk about recent and fresh, where this I have to admit, this one was a little unbelievable.
Well, this is again another gaffe, I believe, on his so-called foreign relations tour when he
spreading the love.
He made people in London very angry in his comments about the Olympics. Well, just yesterday he was in Israel and said, quote, as you come here and you see the GDP per capita, for instance, in Israel, which is about $21,000, and compare that with the GDP per capita just across the areas managed by the Palestinian Authority, which is more like $10,000 per capita, you notice such a dramatically stark difference in economic vitality.
Comparing a free state and a state that's been under occupation for 50 years.
Right, and he incensed the Palestinians. You know, we're trying to bring peace to that region, and instead he absolutely incensed the Palestinians, who called it a racist statement, and this man doesn't realize that the Palestinian economy cannot reach its potential because there is an Israeli occupation.
Exactly. You know, this is, once again, an aside here. This is something new for a Democratic perspective. We don't do hatchet jobs here, but we are today. We have Steve Williamson is gone, and when the kids are left, they do mean things. And so now we're going to have a little fun here at Ann Romney's expense. And that, like she talked about, let's talk about unzipping Mitt. That, in an interview with the Baltimore Sun radio station, Ann Romney, pressed the audience to believe that despite her husband's stiff demeanor and penchant for human and canine bullying, I'm reading here, Mitt was full of chuckles. He was just a regular guy. She said that we better unzip him and let the real Romney out. So that got a few laughs around the places, I'm sure. And of course, she talked about when they were struggling in college. They were living together while studying at Brigham Young. We were happy and studying hard, and neither one of us had a job because Mitt had enough of an investment from a stock that we could sell off a little at a time. She explained, and especially today, it's not certainly the way anybody I know, but I'm sure there are people that goes to college. The stock, of course, came from Mitt Romney's dad. He invested his birthday money, I think. Let's move to the. Go ahead.
I was going to throw in one last one. On,
yes, please.
On Mitt, is everyone's familiar with the famous incident of him putting his dog in a kennel attached to the roof of his station wagon while they were on vacation. Yeah. And of course, most animal lovers, pet lovers, are horrified that anyone would do that. And it apparently,
Pete is not happy that my dog likes fresh air.
Yes, that was a quote.
Yeah, Peter. Yeah, exactly. From tiger.
It shows a great sensitivity to other living beings.
the other thing. This is back in 2007. But he said Ann Romney contributed $150 to Planned Parenthood, an organization he has vowed to abolish if he becomes president. And he said that her positions don't have much to do with his campaign. But let's look at some of the local ones now. We thought, that the two at the top here would be kind of fun and interesting, but Brenda Barton is running against the Democrat Angela LaFever, and Chester Crandall is running against our Tom Chabon for the Senate, for the Arizona Senate. These are state races. And so we wanted to... And in the Arizona Republic's Lori Roberts crusade to de-cookify the Arizona Senate, these people are on the list. Let's talk about Brenda. What do you got on Brenda?
There was a meeting in Payson not long ago where the three LD6 candidates that are Republicans, running as Republicans, were talking to the Tea Party. And I think they felt a little more relaxed because when you read their interviews in local newspapers here, there was none of this mentioned. They seemed relatively reasonable, but talking to their own, Brenda repeatedly quoted the Declaration of Independence justification of rebellion against England more than 200 years ago, saying a government can exist only with the consent of the governed. "I really want to withdraw my consent," she said. "This is not a democracy. It's a constitutional republic. If it were a democracy, all the wolves would decide which lambs they want to have for dinner." Wow. Right now in the Valley, they're calling us kooks. They're working very, very hard to de-kookify the legislature. They want to get rid of anyone who wants to live under the Constitution.
There you go.
As the governed, it's important that we continue to have a country we love, she continued. "We need to maintain our rights in our country because a lot of people are taking it away from us. The country was not created because of a war against another country. We were created because we separated from a king who was a terrorist."
I see.
It's a little rewrite of history. Going on to the other two candidates, Bob Thorpe said, "It's time for another shot heard round the world. Let's make Arizona an example of how we reclaim our liberties, which we have slowly allowed to erode. Liberty-loving patriots will lose a battle or two, but what we're concerned about is whether we win the war or not, and we're at war with the federal government."
And Bob Thorpe is, of course, Doug Ballard's
opponent.
Opponent, yeah.
As an example of federal tyranny, he cited the U.S. Forest Service decision to not renew the 50-year lease for a mobile home park on the shores of Roosevelt Lake, used mostly by weekenders. terrible travesty. He objects to the 17th Amendment to the Constitution that made the U.S. Senate directly elected by the voters of each state rather than appointed by the legislature. Quote, "The founders didn't want the election of senators. The Senate was elected by the states to represent the states. Each state gets two U.S. senators, so the 34 million residents of California would have the same clout in the Senate as the 568,000 residents of Wyoming." Thorpe said a constitutional convention convened by the states could repeal the direct election of senators and perhaps revoke the power of the federal government to borrow money to finance a budget deficit.
Don't we have two senators from each state now?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
And then if we go on to Chester Crandall, who's running against Tom Chabon for the state Senate, he is, like the other two, are particularly concerned about federal management of and ownership of state lands of, right. of the Grand Canyon and the national parks in Arizona. He says, it's time we the people stepped up. We will take over the management of the land, of the water, of the air from the federal government. He insisted the state legislature must take over management of federal lands. He said the state could then reduce, I'm going to miss the rest of the quote here, the fire danger in the forest by authorizing the large-scale return of logging and grazing. That's kind of contradicted by the fact that the Forest Service says that one of the prime reasons for the fires in Arizona and in our forest is the result of overgrazing in the forest and of logging.
And the, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the U.S. Forest Service has abandoned their more managed. Plans and certainly when it comes to fires, as and as they've seen the devastation and correctly criticized over the years, but they've abandoned it. And yet, certainly the right still believes that we need to heap on the criticism from for the errors of years past.
I think it's particularly interesting to hear these people talk about taking over federal lands. For a couple of reasons. One, that was part of the requirements for Arizona statehood, that they give up management, that the state give up management of those lands. And the other thing I think is particularly fascinating is this is coming from, these comments are coming from people that can't even keep the rest stops open in the state. They can't even keep our state parks open. Now they're going to take over management of the Grand Canyon. What they really want to do, and they've said this in so many words, is what they really want to do is take those national lands, sell off mining rights in the Grand Canyon, and sell off land to private companies for development.
Yeah, it's a war on the environment.
Yet this is one. This is probably the prime source of revenue for the state of Arizona is tourism. So you're going to mess with the one thing that has kind of kept the state afloat.
No, that's true. It is between wars on women and wars on the environment. It is an interesting philosophy, to say the least. I know candidate Doug Ballard uses that. That the first time I heard that was from him about the state can't keep its own rest areas open, and they want to take over national monuments like the Grand Canyon and Tuzigoot and Montezuma as well. And in this area, it's quite a and you've seen so local residents going around trying to keep Red Rock State Park open, and Jerome stepped in to keep Jerome State Park open, that the cities are having to step in.
The cities and volunteers, there's, you know, a lot of the paid staff has been replaced by people who have stepped up as volunteers to keep it open. I don't know how that'll work with the Grand Canyon.
No, you're right.
Shall we move on to a couple other representatives or leaders?
We're going to pick on Joe?
Well, let's pick on Russell Pierce first.
Okay.
You know, former state Senate President Russell Pierce, who was recalled. He recently said, I think this was particularly insensitive.
Let me interrupt. Russell Pierce was recalled, but he is running for the Senate.
He's running
district. I'm going to get this 25, I believe. But
I don't recall. Yeah. But he put on his Facebook after the Aurora, Colorado mass killings that because he's such a big fan of everybody being armed at all times.
Right.
Had someone been prepared and armed, they could have stopped this bad man from the most of this tragedy. He was 2 and 3 feet away from folks. I understand he had to stop and reload. So he's basically blaming the victims
for
not being armed and not standing up to somebody who was armed with a with an AR-15 and a 100 round magazine along with a shotgun and a handgun. And I'm betting if Russell was there, he probably would have been hiding behind the women and children in front of him.
Yeah, he took a lot of grief for that.
Bullies like Russell are inevitably cowards. I think they always are cowards.
Well, that's an interesting debate, though, and that's probably a topic for another show. There is some. What's going around now is, if everybody's going to be armed, why do we have police? Why do we spend billions of dollars on police if we're going to give everybody a gun? And these are conservatives that I'm hearing say this, and they're earnest in their I think they're kidding, but they're serious about it.
It complicates. We should probably stay away from getting too deep into gun control, but it does complicate the situation for police when they come into an environment where somebody is shooting and you have other people who are armed with guns. Now, which one is the criminal?
At? Yeah.
I've got another one on another quote from Russell Pierce that. This was from one of his emails. He claims that that SB 1070 was not driven by racism.
Right, that's right.
And so he had an email that says, "Can we maintain our social fabric as a nation with Spanish fighting English for dominance? It's like importing leper colonies and hope we don't catch leprosy. It's like importing thousands of Islamic jihadists and hope they adapt to the American dream." Not exactly a sensitive.
I've seen, now I know why. I've seen in the Latino press that they've been referring to themselves as lepers. And now I know why. I hadn't been aware of that.
I'd like to, if I could, another famous Arizona politician, retiring Senator John Kyle. I think has one of my favorite. Quotes, which is exactly two words.
The guy that's getting out of the Senate because there's not enough money?
His quote is, "I object." He said that more than 70 times on the floor of the Senate as in response to a request to reveal the senators who put secret holds on President Obama's appointments. The irony of it, and I think the hypocrisy of it, was a few months later, he eulogized Judge John Roll, who was killed in Tucson.
In the Gabby Giffords thing.
Lamented that Judge Roll had to do so much work because there was a shortage of federal judges, yet he was really responsible for that shortage.
Right. That's and you're during the Gabby Giffords horror down there that the judge was shot. And so his quote is, "I object." Is
that, I object.
I object.
I object. I object. I object. 70 some times.
Very good. One of the things we got up coming soon, maybe next week, we want to give you a little a preview of the propositions. The blog for, and if you want to get your own preview, you can go to the blog for Arizona. But the I did look at that and other sources the other day. And found that that they do have, now some of them are yet to be numbered, but we're talking about the propositions that will be on the ballot, and some that are proposed. Propositions like the property tax assessed value limit, where they're going to limit it to 5% of current valuation, the permanent state land endowment distribution fund, the state land trust fund, and of course the state sovereignty. Right. You probably heard a lot about the top two primary choices, that to open up the primaries to all voters, and the top two candidates are the two that go forward. Now, that one's playing out real interesting, by the way. It's, the parties don't know kind of what to do. The Republicans have come out squarely against it, and the Democrats have been holding back, content. And I did hear in Democratic circles that they're content to let it be a Republican fight.
I was torn on that myself, but I think it should be a Republican fight. The problem is the two factions in the Republican Party.
Okay, that's true. All right, so listen, all of this, we had some fun at other people's expense, some quotes. VVID.org is our website. And hopefully Steve Williamson will be back, and it will be a kinder and gentler show after that.
He's definitely a much nicer guy than me.
But he does he does have a face for radio, though, kind of like Tayback here.
been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.